Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's on the Terrace. Our gathering words are inside the front of the order of service. This is the month of September, when we reflect on the breadth and depth and length of creation. Today is River Sunday, when we reflect on rivers, all they bring us and all we owe them. This place is a sacred place, one of the places in which we consider, pray, receive and respond to grace and beauty. One of the places where we can be challenged to hear the demands of the divine and the planet. In this month, on this day, in this place, we journey the river of life. I might add that the opening hymn was written by an Australian, which might account for the great reception of wet and rain in the hymn. We might write about slips and things like that. But I do like the pulsing through the veins of earth. Well, welcome everyone on this day. It's been a bit of a drippy weekend, but and dark and grey, hasn't it? But welcome here this morning. And we have a morning tea afterwards, so you're very welcome to come and chat with us further if you wish to. It would be great. It's good to have you here on this first season of creation, and so the creation banners are up, and Lois did some extra decorations for my stall. So she is clever, isn't she? Well done, Lois. And so we have a service that has some elements from a few years ago, and I want to pay tribute to, I think Trish McBride took some of the Season of Creation liturgy and adapted it, and it's been tweaked a little further for today, and so this is a joint effort. Let us say the call to worship together. We call to the rivers to worship with us, the Clutha, Rakaia, Manawatu and Waikato, all rivers that flow to the sea. We invite the streams to sing, trout and water craves, Enango, whitebait, cockabullies and eels sing praise. We invite the river birds to add their praise, Fio and mallard duck, kingfisher and dragonflies call their praise. We join with the waters in their hymn of praise, waterfalls, singing streams, rushing rapids and still pools, ripples that dance at the river mouth. Sing, river, sing praise to all creation. We remember the rivers across our planet, rivers that are the lifeblood of Earth and vital for all forms of life. We remember the streams of our past, the pools and ponds where we played, and the feeling of celebration as we splashed each other. We remember and rejoice. We give thanks for rivers, streams that flow with the water of life. We acknowledge and confess that we have become alienated from Earth and have polluted the rivers of our garden planet. We are sorry. We have polluted our rivers with poisons. We have treated our streams as waste dumps. We have turned living waters into death traps. We have wasted precious waters in luxury living. We need to be taught to love Earth and return to Earth as our home. Shalom, shalom, we are coming home. As we come home to Earth, as we seek to love our home, as we seek to care for our kin, open our hearts. Creation's glory fills our planet. May we discern the vibrant presence among us and our kin in creation, especially in the rivers, the streams and waterways of Earth. Help us empathize with creatures who are suffering. May our spirits lift and rejoice with the vibrant world of the rivers and waterways of our planet. Amen. And we say together the Jesus Prayer, which is on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life-giver, pain-bearer, love-maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. And Peter will play through the music for the fragment of a hymn that is there, and then we'll sing it twice, remaining seated. I have a rainbow candle here, and it needs lighting. It's a magic word, that word rainbow, isn't it? Hello, Emily. So, how about you light the taper, and then you give it to Emily. That's right. Give it to Emily that way. Excellent. And she goes down there. Let's see how that's going. Tip it right over. Ooh, it's tall at the moment. Excellent. Well done, both of you. Good work. So next time, Luca, we'll get Emily to do the taper and you can light the candle. Think that'll work? Yeah. Our rainbow candle shows that everyone's included, including children. So here we are. So if you'd like to sit there for the story, and there's some children up the back that might like to join us up the front for the story.
Hey. Good morning. Maya.
Could I have some sound, please? Thank you. So this is Jess at the end, this is Maya, and she has, there's someone else up the back there who would be the right age to come to the Rainbow Room. So I want to tell you about the Rainbow Room. It's upstairs, and that's where these children will go, and you can think about whether you want to go or not, okay? And you can think about whether you want to go or not, but that's where they have fun, okay? Good.
Good
and this is Colma.
Yep, we had a great time last week, didn't we? Yep, and you've got Johnny down the back, so he might like to come and join us. Hi, Luca and Emily and Alexa. Is today a special day? What do you think?
It's Father's Day.
It is Father's Day.
And it's spring.
And it's spring? Can you think of anything else? If I show you a picture, we're doing something special today and the grown-ups are going to be thinking about it a bit more later. I've actually got two pictures. I'm going to use that one, and I'm going to use that one. What can you see in the pictures that we might be thinking about, Emily?
Mountains.
We could be thinking about mountains. Can you see something else maybe in that picture?
It looks like a road.
It does look a bit, well, there is a road in that picture, and there's something else down there. It's a bit blurry. That's meant to be blue. Emily?
Is it the sea?
It's close to the sea. It's
or is it a lake?
It's going to come all the way down here out to the sea.
Is it a lake?
This is the harbour.
It's a stream.
It is, and it's a big wide stream, and it's called the Hutt River. And that's not far from here, that's why I chose that picture. I also chose that picture because that's the river, that's the very first river that I remember when I was about your age, because it was really close to where we lived.
I know something that has hut in two of the last words.
What's that?
Upper hut and lower hut.
Cool, that's right. And when I was about your age, Luca, that's where I lived in lower hut. But I found a story in the library to share with you today, and this, I don't think the person that wrote this book lives in New Zealand. I think they might have lived quite a long way away from here. But it's about a river. And I think if you've got good imaginations, I bet you have, you need to be able to imagine that you're in a little tiny boat on that river in the story. And it's not a blue river like my river, it's a green river. There's a river outside my window. From where I sit, I can see it stretching into the distance in both directions. Sometimes I imagine myself floating along the river, swept away in my boat towards the horizon. There's not many words and there's some cool pictures in there. It is a bit strange, isn't it? That's why I thought you might need to use your imagination. It goes through the city, under bridges, and past the speeding cars as it goes by. We might give this to Jess to take up to the Rainbow Room. You might be able to have a good look later. It flows beside the factories with their machines grinding and plumes of smoke rising into the sky. It carries me past farms and animals and moves beyond the fields that look like patchwork quilts. It slides into the hills and valleys, and I can hear the murmuring of running water. You don't do that? Can you imagine? Can you see the child in the boat?
And I can see a few
there he is.
I can see a few bears.
Cool. There's lots of things to look at. And it grows louder and takes me tumbling down the waterfall that is higher than any building. The river flows into the jungle, and I can hear lots of animals. So you need quite a bit of time to look at the pictures carefully, don't you? Deep in the jungle, it's very dark. I can feel lots of eyes watching me. Can you see the river?
Yeah, it's going that way.
Yeah. It's going very far, that river, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going into the harbour.
As I sail through the mangroves, As I sail through the mangroves, the river opens up and it takes me to the ocean. It's windier now and the air smells of salt and seaweed. Can you take a big deep breath and imagine you're down by the sea? And look.
I can't smell.
Can you imagine that you can? If I peer over the edge of my boat, I can see hundreds of fish. Can you see all the fish at Exe? Yeah, lots of them.
I can see more than 100.
Yes, there's heaps, aren't there? When I look up, I see clouds moving, and it begins to...
Rain!
We know lots about rain, don't we? And it's difficult to see where I am. But I can hear raindrops on my window. Have you been listening to the raindrops on the windows at your house? Mm-hmm. And as the clouds clear, I'm sitting in my room again, looking through the raindrops on the glass and gazing out across the sleeping city.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's the moon. Is it daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
Yeah.
If you can see a moon, it might be daytime or nighttime.
But do you think in this picture, Emily, it's daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
Yeah, because you can see the moon in the daytime sometimes, can't you? And I think I see my silver boat floating in the moonlight, drifting past my windows once more.
There it is.
Yeah.
Where's the person?
Where's the person? I wonder where the person's gone. Might be sleeping inside the boat. You have a think about it, and we'll give it to Jess, and she can take it to the Rainbow Room. You might have time to have another look at it later.
Let's make our circle. There you go. You hang on to my hand. Good. You're here. Come on in, Lars. Yep. So we send you to the Rainbow Room program to hear stories, have fun and ask questions. And we all say, we bless you. Amen. And we're going to pass the peace, which we do enthusiastically, but do not be afraid. Thank you. And if your eyesight is good enough, you'll read that the words are by Joy Cowley and the music is by Vivian Chu. And Joy has come here to hear it today. So, Joy, it's lovely to have you with us. And thank you, Joy and Vivian, for such a marriage of music and words. I might add, while we've got you in the room, Joy, thank you for all the other words as well. Rivers and water have been symbols from ancient times of healing and spirituality. One bookend to the scriptural account, which we will not be reading today, is the creation account in Genesis 2, the other creation account in Genesis 2. And that explicitly refers, right at the beginning of scripture, to a river running out of Eden, which waters the Garden of Eden. Today we will begin our trip through the Bible, looking at famous rivers, by hearing the ancient story of the healing of Naaman, the chief of staff to the king of Aram. It is when Naaman finds his humility and surrenders to the Jordan, which he finds inferior to the rivers of home, that he is healed, when he finds his humility. And similarly, when you hear the gospel reading, you'll remember that it's when Jesus surrenders to the indignity of baptism in the same river centuries later, discouraged, in fact, by his cousin John, who thinks it's unworthy, that he is unworthy to baptize Jesus. It is in that moment of surrender that Jesus encounters the numinous in a spiritually huge moment. And then Joan will read the final bookend, the bookend to the river running into Eden. And the final bookend reading is from Revelation, that huge vision of the city of God written by John. Matching that river running out of Eden, we have the river running from the city of God, and by its shores grows the tree of life from which life comes. And so rivers are metaphors for us of healing. They are metaphors of us from Joy's poem of life. They are metaphors for the spirit running through our lives and nourishing us. And so in that spirit, let us hear the readings.
From the Hebrew Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him victory had been gained by Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the prophet. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as God whom I serve lives, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. And the gospel reading about the baptism of Jesus is from Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And from Revelations chapter 22, Eden restored. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, for the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us. We give thanks.
It's my privilege this morning to talk about rivers, and I wanted to do that in the context of not only this month of creation, but also where does it fit, and where do rivers fit in our sort of current understanding of ecosystems and ecosystem management. And we use a whole raft of new words, really. And so to begin, I thought it's important that we just set that in context. And I'd like to sort of paraphrase some words that Jeremy Butman wrote from the School of Philosophy in New York. And he talks about how the origins of the environmental movement in the West began with the emergence of Romanticism in the late 18th century. In this version, environmentalism was born as the good twin to the evil of industrialization. Today we talk about ecological sustainability and environmental preservation, and we typically still understand them in terms of a battle between nature and industry. And I want to come back to some of those thoughts and words, I guess, during this short presentation. And Descartes, in effect, reduced the natural world to its mathematical form. And in doing so, he set the stage for a purely scientific, technological worldview, cleared the way for the domination of nature by industry, and prepared philosophy for Nietzsche's dramatic declaration of the death of God. What is given less consideration is that as the Christian God retreated after Descartes, the attributes traditionally ascribed to God, goodness, perfection, and permanence, were in different ways transposed onto the body of nature. Cruel nature is transformed into the Garden of Eden. This identification of nature with the Christian notion of the divine is one of the foundations of environmental sustainability. And so I'll come back at the end to just this thought about what is sustainability and what is sustainable. And so let's just focus on rivers. And today we celebrate rivers and their place in the ecosystem. That's interesting. We won't do that, we won't go backwards, we'll go forwards. Rivers, in fact, on this slide, for those who can see it, play a very small part in the magnitude of water on the planet. Most of the planet, 97% of the water on the planet, is contained in the oceans, and of course that's salt water. And so the small fraction, 3% of that water, 3% of water on the planet, is non-saline. And then most of the fresh water is contained actually in ice and in glaciers and ice sheets. And so a very small fraction of that, some 1% of the fresh water, is actually available as flowing water, and indeed that's sequestered under land and in lakes and in the soil, and a small fraction, 1% of that, is actually in rivers. And so for New Zealand, and if I kept this week most of the articles from the Dominion Post and last Sunday's Sunday Times of issues on water. And it plays, and of course not only about the elections, but I thought it's interesting, you know, even a one-pager in the Dominion Post, collaborative approach key in Canterbury fresh waters. And so I just run through some of the issues that face New Zealand with water before we look at some of the international issues. And so for New Zealand, of course, the big issue in general is seasonal supply. And it means, therefore, not only the storage, but also water quality. And we see it in the hydro lakes with so-called dry winters, when there are then the threats of power cuts, when the flows into the lakes are too small. In agriculture and all the discussions in the Hawke's Bay about water storage, that there isn't enough water in summer, and of course the runoff contamination, not only during the year, but of course with reduced flows, it becomes a huge issue. We have even in Wellington, of course, water restrictions. What, when you can you water your lawn? When vigils last week, and talked about last week in the paper, the anniversary of the Havelock contamination with E. coli in the town water supply. And of course we have the demise of Environment Canterbury trying to apportion water rights to irrigators but also to town supply. But on the global scene of things, of course, this is the driver of concern. It is the change in the world's human population. And you can see the exponential climb to now we're somewhere around 7 billion people on the planet. And also what is also extremely important is that we now are a planet where urban dwellers outnumber those in the rural setting. Happened about 2010, 2011, this turnover. And indeed it's predicted that the next billion people on the planet, 95% of them will be town dwellers, not in the country. So there's this move to disassociate ourselves from the issue of the rural area. And I think in terms of the screen of slides that I have, the bigger issue for us all really is that not only have the withdrawals of water from a variety of reservoirs and from aquifers increased over time, as this graph shows, but actually it's increased at 2.5 times the population growth. And so our use and use of water has changed drastically. And that's a 20th century phenomenon. I remember talking about that 3 years ago when we did a similar talk of how we've changed from it being normal to have a bath once a week. Why was that? Because there wasn't enough hot water. And so it was a big issue to draw hot water or heat up water, especially for a bath on Saturday or Sunday, usually Saturdays after midday when work was finished, and relaxation on Sunday. And of course now we've got, as those who are involved in the B&B business here in Wellington will find, that people who come to stay actually would like 3 sets of towels a day, because you need to shower three times a day. And so that's the difference between, you know, it was okay and from a medical point of view, it's still okay, actually, and much better to wash your hair once a week than once a day. But the pressure of industry, of course, to sell all the toners and gels and whatever, fits with using water. And so that really becomes the big issue, and the big issue for us all to think about. And although we're not India, and this isn't the Johnsonville line into Wellington, I see Modi this week, the president of India, signed finally a new edict to try and join 60 rivers in India, 60 rivers, so that you can control the flow for agriculture, but also decrease flows in rivers because of flooding. And this isn't the Hutt line coming in the morning to Wellington either, but the congestion of both traffic and what that means in terms of runoff from roads. As we build more roads, and these roads, the water goes quickly to the rivers, of course, results in not only the river pollution, but of course the use of rivers. And here in Varanasi, of course, the sacred Ganges has special significance. And so this isn't the Hutt River scene, but of course it is a scene in other parts of the planet where not only waters have special significance, but of course it's the issue of they are, in the natural geographic system, drains, of course. That is, we drain excess water through rivers to the sea. We renew the deltas traditionally, so the big places on the Nile Delta, the Mekong Delta, the Ganges Delta was where agriculture was, because it was the soil was refreshed each year with the flooding and the new sediment. And of course now we have those areas populated, and of course subject to flooding. So it's not to forget that rivers are the natural drainage system. That's why inland cities are built on them. That's the problem in Beijing. Beijing doesn't have a big river. It was built as a north fortress in China in a basin without a river. And so, of course, it has huge drainage and pollution problems. We see in this week's paper about the Volga, the largest river in Russia, is now so polluted that it's virtually impossible in its length to fish. And it's a huge issue for the whole of Russia. And of course in New Zealand, the discussion of course on runoff, particularly in the summertime, labelled at the intensive dairying, but also as we create more subdivisions, more hard roofs, more hard roads, the runoff increases, and so we get localised flooding, as we've just had in Christchurch and in parts of the North Island. And so the issue, and I guess the message from this brief discussion, is about we need to nurture the rivers. We need to understand their place in the ecosystem and, of course, place value on them. And so that balance, and life is a compromise, the balance between having economic welfare in New Zealand and what we do with the broader ecosystem is something for us all really to be aware of and to discuss. And so, you know, what does it mean to have a swimmable river? The attributes placed on our streams under the latest accord was whether it was wadeable or swimmable. It's all a matter of definition, I guess. This image from the Ganges. And so my final message is we're starting to see that we really need to nurture and value rivers as part of our ecosystem, but compromise is going to be the key. We need to have a balance. We need to be able to live in society. And so not only do we need to pray for the future, we need to think about what it means. And I like this slide in the context of triple bottom line and in sort of words that St. Andrew's people could reflect on. The social component is usually in the triple bottom line as the top of this, but it's about people and social equity. And of course, under the environment, as it's normally depicted in such a Venn diagram, the planet is about environmental stewardship. And of course, we can't survive if we don't have enterprises that make a profit that allow sustainability in the business sector to invest in the future and therefore to pay taxes that provides for the services that we need in society. And so, as I said, it's a balance. It's a balance between those three fields. And so between people and the planet, it's things we need to look at it and see what's bearable for the planet, but also for people. What's equitable for people and for an economic system that actually functions? And what's viable? And those three sets merge to give us then a feeling for what is sustainable. Or if we see it in a more traditional slide, that would be for many companies also the way in which they do analysis for triple bottom line accounting. It's the social environment, it's the intersection of social, environmental, and economic well-being that gives us something that is sustainable and in sustainability. So Wendy's going to read us a thought piece.
So this reading is by Aidan Chambers from his book, This Is All, The Pillow Book of Cordelia Kinn. A pillow book is a very old idea, goes back to classical Japanese literature, more than 1,000 years ago, and it was a personal journal. And so this is really from the personal journal of Cordelia Kinn. I thought, how lovely and how strange a river is. A river is a river, always there, and yet the water flowing through it is never the same water and is never still. It's always changing and it's always on the move. And over time, the river itself changes too. It widens and deepens as it rubs and scours, gnaws and kneads, eats and bores its way through the land. Even the greatest rivers, the Nile and the Ganges, the Yangtze and the Mississippi, the Amazon and the great grey, green, greasy Limpopo, they must have been no more than trickles and flickering streams before they grew into mighty rivers. Are people like that? I wondered. Am I like that? Always me. Like the river itself, always flowing, but always different. Like the water flowing in the river, sometimes walking steadily along andante, sometimes surging over rapids, furioso, sometimes meandering with hardly any visible movement, tranquillo, lento, pianissimo, sometimes gurgling with pleasure, sometimes sparkling in the sun, sometimes appassionato, sometimes misterioso, sometimes staccato, sometimes vivace, and always, I hope, amoroso. Do I change like a river, widening and deepening, eddying back on myself sometimes, bursting my banks sometimes when there's too much water, too much life in me, and sometimes dried up from lack of rain? Will the I that is me grow and widen and deepen? Or will I stagnate and become an arid riverbed? Will I allow people to dam me up, and confine me so that I flow only where they want? Will I allow them to turn me into a canal to use for their own purposes? Or will I make sure I flow freely, coursing my way through the land and ploughing a valley of my own?
And now, just to contemplate, in fact, with the help of Schmettner's music, the rivers of the planet. This one through Prague, the biggest river in the Czech Republic.
Thank you, Andrew and Wendy, for that offering. And we now bring our offerings of money for the work of this place and food for those who need it. We give thanks for all that we have been given. And so today we have brought some of that for the work of this place and the work it does in the community beyond it, and food for those who need it more than we do. And we pray that this money and this food will achieve the purpose for which it has been given. So may it be. Amen. I'd like to thank all those who have been involved in today's service, choir and speakers, and also to thank people for the work they've put into our pre-election meetings. We have finished our cycle of pre-election meetings, although no doubt there will be plenty going on in the city between now and the 23rd of September. But thank you for those who've helped with those things. Also, Margaret Rushbrook's reflection, a few copies of that are available at the back of the church now for those who would like to pick one up. We've got a new stand that says Reflections at the top, so hopefully they'll be easier for you to find. Any other? No, this is from other people.
Hello, I'm Norman Wilkins. Before I say what I really came up here to say, I've just got to say that I feel so inspired, really, by what, you know, what Margaret said last week, and thank you, and Andrew, what you said today, and Vivian, and your music that you wrote for that hymn. It's sort of rather typical of the really good things that seem to happen here week by week. But what I really came up here to say was to refer to that hymn, where peace like a river attended my way. That hymn has two really significant meanings to us. First of all, about 4 years ago, I conducted the wedding for Paul and Mark at Old St. Paul's Church, and Paul is sick with cancer, ill with cancer, and also he and Paul, there was some objection from their family, and so to their wedding, so it wasn't easy for them, and we've remained friends with that couple, lovely guys from St. Louis in Missouri. But it's always worth knowing where a hymn comes from. And if you look up the sort of story of this guy, Horatio Gates Spafford, who wrote it, it's a very, very tragic and moving story of him losing his business, I think, and then losing his wife and daughters in a shipwreck in the Atlantic. And then he writes this hymn, "When peace like a river attended my way." Paul and Mark, in their wedding, this was their theme music. So there's always a story behind these things, and it's worth knowing. Thank you.
Thanks. I just really wanted to, my name's Jenny Simpson. I'm a member of the congregation. And I just wanted to thank Team St. Andrews for your enormous support for the MS Day. The collection on Wednesday, and you all helped me with collections at Thorndon New World and at Schaefer Street. And at Schaefer Street we made $840, and at Thorndon New World we made $1,450 approximately. And what was actually so different was that in Schaefer Street, the majority of it was made up with small coins, lots and lots and lots of people just giving a small amount. And it really is so lovely. And so I really want to thank Margaret, Jane, Anne, Lynn, Brian, Colmer, Norman, Pauline, Lois, Sue, and Anne, and Paul. And thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Just carry on and sit down if you wish. Just one more thing. We had quite a poignant funeral service for Francis Robinson yesterday here, and I'm hoping that David Robinson may come to church after a while here. And so if he does, do befriend him. And I think he might enjoy Ephesus, by the way, so if any of you are in Ephesus, you might like to invite him to that. Three sons spoke very movingly of their mother, and also her brother spoke very movingly of the less than ideal home that he and Fran were brought up in, and how Fran had overcome that in her life. It was a very inspiring but quite poignant and bittersweet funeral. It was quite a special moment. So yeah, if David comes, do gather him in the embrace, gather him again in the embrace of St. Andrews, because they came while John Murray was here.
In our karakia here today, we stand in solidarity with the peoples of the earth. The prayers that were written in the book, our prayer book, which is kept at the back for anybody, will be interspersed with the prayers that I had prepared, because there are some very nice coincidences of topic. Gentle Spirit, leading us beside still waters. Empowering Spirit, flowing through us with ideas and energy and creativity. Restless Spirit, urging us to action, rising and churning, overflowing the banks and boundaries of our expectations. Connecting spirit, meandering through the braided riverbeds of our lives, meeting and parting, binding and freeing, making patterns of the chaos, or disrupting our tidy assumptions. Spirit of river, water of life, satisfying our soul's deep thirst. Spirit of spring and season of creation, we give thanks for all that is refreshing and nourishing in our lives today. For lovers and friends and whānau, for the spring bulbs and blossom, for rebirth and renewal in our lives and in our world, for the streams of our lives flowing to the great ocean of all life, we give thanks. We give thanks for parents and caregivers and foster parents, mātua and kaitiaki and mātua whangai. And today we acknowledge and thank the fathers and father figures in our lives who have shown us respect and love and care. For our families of blood and of choice, for our rainbow quilt bag families, for our multicoloured, multicultural, multi-gifted families, we give thanks. We pray that the debate and discussion for our elections will be constructive, thoughtful and wise. We pray for the children of Yemen, the Rohingya people of Burma, the people suffering in India, Bangladesh and in Texas from flooding. Let us not forget them. For all whose desperate need is pushed off the news by the next disaster, let us not forget them. We hold in our hearts all who are suffering from natural disasters, flood, tornado, hurricane, landslide, the people in Africa, where hundreds of lives were lost in a mudslide in Sierra Leone, and in southern China, where Typhoon Hato's gusts and ocean swells in Hong Kong and Macau killed 16 people and there's many others missing. For the people in the United States, where Hurricane Harvey has brought devastation and death, and 1.7 million Texans have been forced out of their homes. And for the people of South Asia, devastated by heavy monsoon rains in India, Nepal and Bangladesh, with 41 million people affected, we hold them in our hearts. We think of the armies of helpers and medics and recovery crew and bereft family members searching and grieving, sweating and surveying, trucking or boating or flying in with supplies and away with the dying and the dead. Where human action or inaction has led to or worsened natural catastrophes, we repent. For deforestation and overfishing and misusing the natural resources of river and pasture and waterways, we repent. For polluting and degrading and treating Papatūānuku, our mother the earth, with contempt, we repent. For caring about the environment but not for it, we repent. Repenting, confessing our oversight and neglect, we claim the promise of reconciliation, the forgiveness that is turning around, changing our ways and helping others to do the same. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Burundi and the National Council of Churches of Burundi. Here in Aotearoa, we remember those who work this election season as candidates, members of all political parties and all voters. And here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of St Paul's Union Church in Pahiatoa. Spirit of river, water of life, satisfying our soul's deep thirst, may justice roll down like a river. May we be channels for love and justice, for peace and renewal. These are our prayers. And we draw together our prayers, our hopes and affirmations by saying together the prayer for St Andrews. It's on the laminated card in your service sheet. And if you're visiting with us today, please make this a prayer for your people and your place as well as for ours. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ and a new spirit of love toward all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
St Andrew's is an open community, and all here are invited to Christ's table. Wherever you are on your faith's journey, wherever you have come from, wherever you are going to, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion. This is God's meal for all people. And as we celebrate communion, we'll be using the cream card. And so we open that now. And Peter will play us a full verse of the music, "For She Sits Like a Bird," and we'll stand to sing from the second verse. You'll find the Thanksgiving prayer at the top of the second page of the card. O Eternal Spirit, we give thanks, because with fire and wind you came among us. You burst forth, and our lives have never been the same. You continue to reveal yourself to women and men many times, in different places, in a myriad of ways, offering us a new way of living, a new energy, empowering us for the journey. Therefore, with the energy and powerful love which we can now find deep within us, with the creative ones who delight and transform darkness and despair, with those with artistic skill who dare to visualize for us another way, with the damaged ones who bring new drama to life's stage, with those who are rich in enthusiasm, who inspire others to do good and do well, we give thanks, saying, Holy, 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 loving Spirit God, heaven and earth are full of your glory, the glory of the power that is love. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are they who come in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us in the spirit of life, now always with us wherever we are, who, after a meal with his friends, people much like us, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, also, the cup after supper, saying words like, This cup is the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me. Come now, Spirit of all times and places, be the wind which blows between us, be the fire that kindles our hearts, be the language which draws us together. And may these elements from grain and grape nourish the spirit within us, be our source and beginning, staying with us until our ending. So may it be. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, eat and drink. Let us pray. We do not leave this table of the family of God without considering our brothers and sisters who throughout this planet will in successive waves through this day arise and worship. And so we think of those who need to hide their devotion to the Christian way or any other religious way in a hostile situation. And we pray for those for whom their religion has become rote and meaningless. We pray for those who wish that they could do more, and for those who enjoy the challenge and delight of walking a faith journey. And so may people grow and mature and find the Spirit in their lives. So may it be. Amen. And now we turn back to the order of service written on the white paper, where you will find our final hymn, which you might recognise. So go out over that verge of Jordan or alongside it, or swim in it or kayak in it, and know that as you do, love surrounds you every moment of every day.